The scripture reading is Psalm 39. Psalm 39 is a psalm of David. We will read the whole psalm. The text is verses 4 and 5. Psalm 39, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me, while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength, before I go hence, and be no more. Thus far we read the word of God tonight. The text is verses 4 and 5. David prayed, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. How quickly our years pass by. 2018 ended a short time ago, and now 2019 has passed, and soon 2020 will begin to pass away. It goes by quick. Now, some here tonight, when they hear that our years pass by quickly, they might think, well, I've still got a long time. Maybe young people especially can think that way. Kids, I have a long time yet here on this earth. But any older person could tell you here tonight from experience how fast it does go. Our years pass by quickly. Psalm 39 contains a fitting prayer for us who have come to the end of another year. In verse 4, David prays, Lord, make me to know mine end. He prayed that as one who had been painfully reminded of the shortness of life in the midst of an affliction that he was going through. The psalm does not show to us exactly what was happening in David's life before he wrote this psalm. But it's clear that he was going through great suffering. Verse 10 says, Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. David went through several different trials in his life, one of the main ones being the time when Absalom, his son, rebelled against him. And that history certainly would fit with this psalm. Remember that Absalom, David's own son, had tried to take the throne from David. And in the process, he took many of David's friends, his old friends, along with him, and they sought David's life. And then in the midst of that rebellion, against David's wishes, his own son Absalom had been killed. That was great sorrow for David. During that trial, David tried to remain silent in the presence of his enemies. That's what verses 1 through 3 is about. He tried to keep his mouth shut. He figured that if he did say something, he'd probably say the wrong thing. So he thought it'd be better just to be quiet. Well, David, in the midst of this trial, being confronted with how short earthly life is, he made a prayer. He said, "Lord, make me to know mine end. I've seen my son Absalom die. I almost was killed. It all goes so quickly. Lord, if I'm going to handle this stroke, this difficulty thou hast sent, make me to understand my end. Make me to see that I have an end, and that my life is brief. Make me to understand this truth from the proper spiritual perspective, so that it really changes the way I view my life and the way that and the goals that I even have. Lord, make me to know mine end, and that my days are brief." In the way of this prayer, during this difficult time, God would bring David to see his end. See his end from the right spiritual perspective. And he would open his mouth and he would speak. And that's why we have this psalm before us tonight. Now, as another year ends for us, and we come face to face also with the truth that our days pass by quickly, we also want God to give us a proper spiritual view of our end. We want to see that we have an end. We want to see the significance of a life that is brief and that has an end. So we make the same prayer as David tonight. Let's go to God's Word and see what God revealed to David concerning his life and concerning his end. Let's consider this truth under the theme of prayer to know mine end. A prayer to know mine end. First, the prayer's petition. Second, what God reveals. And third, the fruit. The prayer's petition, what God reveals, and then the fruit, or the fruitful result. The prayer's petition. David prayed in verse 4, "Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days." What is David asking there exactly? Well, David was not asking that he might know exactly when his life was going to end. He was speaking about his death here. The rest of verse 4 shows that's true. The phrase "measure of my days" in verse 4 indicates that David is speaking of his own earthly life and how long it will last. A measure tells you the length of something. So David is praying about the length of his days. He's praying about his death. But David is not asking that he might know exactly when his days would end. He's not praying that he might know exactly the day in which he's going to die. God knew when that would happen. God knows exactly how many heartbeats each one of us has, knows exactly when our life is going to end. But he does not reveal that to us. He did not reveal that to David when that would happen. David was not praying that he might know exactly when his days would end. But he was praying. He was praying that he might understand that he had an end, and that his days were brief. David wanted to understand that he was not going to live forever. He wanted to understand that his days would end. They were brief. There was a limit.
But he also wanted, and he also was praying here, that he might understand his end from the right spiritual perspective. He wasn't praying simply that he might gain a medical understanding of the truth that, yes, my heart's going to stop beating someday. No, he wanted also a spiritual understanding of that truth, that his life was brief, that his days would end, and wanted this to have an effect upon his life. He desired that God would so impress upon him the truth that his days were limited, that it would make a difference in the way that he lived, that it would make a difference in the goals that he had, that it would make a difference in what he viewed as important. That's what he was praying for here when he said, Lord, make me to know mine end. Make me to know I have an end. Make me to understand it from a right spiritual perspective so it changes the way I view my life. Why did David have to ask for that? Understanding the petition, now why did he ask for instruction concerning his end? He asked for that because no man in his own strength truly understands his end. All one has to do to see that is look at the men of the world. Men of the world clearly do not have an understanding, proper understanding of their end. Each man knows intellectually that he is going to die someday, but he shows that he does not understand that spiritually by the way he lives. Men of the world go on and on in sin, acting as if their days on this earth will never come to an end, and they'll never have to answer to God for what they're doing. Men of the world show by what they view as important that they think their days are going to go on and on and on. They heap up riches, as Psalm 39, verse 6 says. They heap up riches. They live for pleasure, for the here and the now, believing that this is everything. Show they don't understand their end spiritually in the way that they view things. But it's not just the world that has that problem. Even we, who are God's children, we also so often do not have the right spiritual viewpoint of our end. We have sinful natures. David had a sinful nature. David knew that he was going to die one day, but that sometimes made no difference in the way that he lived his life. When walking, for instance, in the sins of adultery and murder, you murdered Uriah, committed adultery with Bathsheba, walked in that sin for over a year. When he was doing that, he was acting as if he had no end, as if his days were going to go on, and he would never have to answer to God for what he had done. In his view of himself and of his life, David showed at times that he did not understand that his days were brief. Think about his act of numbering the people. He numbered those people and acted, when he saw the great number of them, he thought, well, very strong, very powerful. He's acting as if his kingdom could never be defeated. Sometimes did not see that all of this would pass so quickly. We too can lose sight of our end as those who have the old man of sin within us. At times in our lives, we can walk in sin, acting as if we will never have to answer to God for what we are doing. At times, we too heap up riches like the wicked, living for the here and the now, in the pursuit of pleasure, forgetting that there's an end. Especially in the strength of youth, we can hardly imagine a world that exists here without us. We always are thinking that we're always going to be here. So we too can easily lose sight of the truth that we have an end. And thus, we must ask, along with David, that we might know our end. God alone can cause us to know it. He's the Almighty God. He alone can cause us to know our end, so we must ask Him. That's what David did. David recognized that truth, saw his weakness and his frailty by the grace of God, and he prayed. He prayed, "Lord, make me to know mine end," or more literally, "Lord, cause me to know it. God, by thy powerful Spirit, cause me to know in my heart the truth that I have an end, that my days are thus brief, they don't go on unlimited, and make me to understand all this from the right spiritual perspective so that I live differently and I live for thee." God indeed teaches his people their end. God taught David his end. God teaches us our end. And he does that often using trials. He teaches us using trials. And in the way of prayer and reading his word during those trials, we are brought by him to see the truth. Think of it, if God simply gave us an easy life with very few difficulties, we would not come to know our end. If there was no sickness, no handicaps, no financial trouble, no deaths, we would never even want to think about the fact that we have an end. We wouldn't even want to consider it. We would just want to stay here forever, and that's all we'd want to think about. God sends us trials. God sent David trials to bring him to understand in a godly way. But there's an end. Sent him that trial with Absalom, his own son rebelling against him, his own friends going after him, seeking his life. God was showing to David, "David, this is not all there is. Life passes away quickly." And God sends us difficulties to teach us the same thing. We've experienced some of those difficulties in the past year. We will experience some of them in the year to come. Sickness, maybe cancer, makes us stop. Jehovah uses that to make us stop and say, "This isn't all there is. It's not. We will not be here forever." And in the way of turning to his word and turning to him in prayer during those difficult times, we are brought by God to see the truth. God did that for David. He brought him to see the truth in the way of prayer during that difficult time that he had an end, and brought him to see that end from the right spiritual perspective. And God does the same thing with us. May we do that. May we turn to God's word in times of trial in the year to come. May we turn to him in prayer during times of trial in the year to come, for Jehovah uses that to make us see the truth about this life. It doesn't go on and on. He uses that. He works powerfully in the way of prayer to make us see the truth. So let's do that in this year to come. Let's go to him in prayer. Now, Jehovah, he sent David trials. He worked in David to pray. David did pray to God, "Lord, make me to know mine end." God revealed the truth. What was that truth? God revealed to David two things. Verse 5 really is David speaking of what God told him. He's speaking here of one who saw the truth now in the way of prayer. And he says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee." God told him, "David, your days are short. As an handbreadth, your ages is nothing before me, the eternal God." And in the second place, God showed David that his life was vanity. He said, "Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." So let's see those two truths now that God revealed to David in verse 5. David prayed at the end of verse 4, "Lord, may I know how frail I am." That word frail means it's fleeting, something that's very short. Here one moment, gone the next. "Lord, make me to know how frail I am." Verse 5, God says to David, "Your days are very frail. Very fleeting. They're like a handbreadth." A handbreadth is the width of four fingers across. In those days, it was a measurement that was often used to measure small things. God showed David, your days are that short. Like a hand breath. Now, knowing the scriptures, we often think of Psalm 90, verse 10, when we think of our days on earth. God says there that our days are 80 years and 10. If strength be great, 80 years. 70 to 80 years. So we can often think 70 to 80 years is a pretty long time. But again, ask any older person here tonight and they'll tell you how fast 70 to 80 years goes by. And many times men do not even make it 70 to 80 years. Men's days are like a hand breath. God says your days are short. David adds, after being shown the truth by God, David adds that his age, his lifespan, that is as nothing before thee. Verse 5, mine age is as nothing before thee. Thee refers to God. God is eternal. He has no beginning and no end. Mine age, my lifespan, is as nothing in the eternal God's sight. 70 to 80 years is nothing compared to the eternal God. Imagine a timeline for a moment that spans the entire history of the earth. 6,000 years. And then think of our lifespan of 70 to 80 years on that long timeline. Our lifespan of 70 to 80 years is very small on that timeline that spans 6,000 years. Very small. But now think of a timeline that somehow expands into eternity past. Then our lifespan of 70 to 80 years is next to nothing on that timeline. Hardly makes a mark. My days are as nothing. Nothing in the eternal God's sight. That's the first thing God told David concerning his end. He said, David, your days are as a handbreadth, your age is as nothing before me. Very short. In the second place, concerning his end, God said to David that his life was frail. That his life was really vanity. It's the second half of verse 5. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That word vanity there literally means breath. Breath. Think of kids maybe standing at the bus stop on a cold day or outside at recess. You breathe, and there goes your breath. That you can see it for a moment, and then it's gone the next instant. Well, God revealed to David and reveals to us that that's what the lives of men are like a breath. Here one moment, gone the next. My life and what I do in my life is like that breath that passes out of my mouth on a cold day. I live here for a while. I die. My work passes on to someone else. The things that I had fill up a landfill somewhere. It's gone. Now consider more deeply the fact that God said this to David. God revealed this to David, the king of Israel. The king of a mighty power in that day. Think of David's riches. Think of all that he had accomplished. He was the great king of Israel who had defeated many nations and had brought great things to the land of Israel. God said, even David's life is vanity. It's like a breath. God revealed that to him in way of bringing difficulties into his life. Think of Absalom's rebellion. God brought that rebellion of Absalom into David's life to show him that all he had accomplished, all the riches that he had, it could all be taken in an instant. And even though God had squashed that rebellion, Absalom hadn't succeeded, even though that was true. David saw here, my life is like a breath. It's frail. It'll pass away very quickly. And God shows us the same thing. We can look back on our year and we can think, I accomplished quite a bit this past year. I accomplished a lot. But God brings to us His Word. He uses trials. He works in the way of prayer to bring us to see that our life too is like David's. It's like a breath. God may use a great sickness in the coming year to make us see that, to remind us of this truth. Keeps us, maybe that sickness keeps us out of work for a while. We spend more and more time in prayer and in the Word. And in that way, He shows to us our days pass like a breath. Our workplace, the world, it will go on without us. Now, David is not led of God here merely to say that every man is vanity, but he says that every man, even at his best state, is vanity. That word best state there means literally standing firm. And the idea is David is referring to men even during the prime of their life. He's saying that every man, even in the prime of his life, when he's accomplishing much, he's still but a breath. Even when a man is working every day, accomplishing much from an earthly point of view, he's still but a breath. All that he is, all that he does will pass away so quickly from this earth. God said that even to David, revealed that even to him. This is David, the one who lived in the palace, the one whom the people had said Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. God showed him. You will go to the grave soon. Men will forget what happened, much of what happened. Your life is like a breath. He says that to the Christian teacher here this morning, or tonight, the business owner, the athlete. You'll die soon. Your greatest works will soon be forgotten. Your hearts will soon quit beating. You'll go to the grave. Your life is like a breath. It doesn't mean what we do here is not important in any sense. We are to live here to the glory of God. We are to train up our children in the truth. We are to be witnesses here. God has called us to live in time and history to the glory of His name. Yet we must also see the truth. This earth is not all there is. Man is like a breath, a sigh. His days on earth as quickly fly as shadows o'er the plain. So God reveals to us our days are short, our life is like a breath. And this, for the child of God, by the grace of God, has a fruitful result. A fruitful result. In the first place, knowing my end, my life has changed. And I live as a pilgrim and a stranger here, with my eyes on heaven. Knowing my end, I don't live, I don't believe that this earth is all there is. I don't tonight go out and do whatever I please and go on in sin, acting as if I'll never have to answer to God for what I do. I don't live like that. I also seek not to let the sufferings of this life overwhelm me, believing that this all will never end. No, we as well as David, we suffer here in this life. We've talked about that tonight. There's sin which has caused many difficulties. There will be sin in the year coming. We've experienced sickness, cancer. There's been many pains. There have been hurt feelings. But seeing my end and that this life is but a breath, these difficulties do not overwhelm me. I see there is an end coming. And I live as a pilgrim here. I live as a stranger here with my eyes on heaven. Verse 12 shows that that is how David lived, by the grace of God, as one who had been shown the truth regarding his end. In verse 12, we read David saying, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were." David was a pilgrim, a stranger. He saw that. We see that tonight too, by the grace of God. Pilgrim and a stranger is a traveler who's in a certain place, but that place is not his home. He's passing through to his home. God sends to us trials, and he shows to us in the way of prayer, reading his word during those trials, shows to us that we are just pilgrims here on the way to our eternal home. Shows to me and assures me in the way of prayer and in his word that I am one who has a home, an eternal home in heaven because of Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, the Savior. He came here. He took upon himself our flesh. He died, bearing all of our sins, earning for us eternal life. Paid for all of our sins so that we are righteous in God's sight, so that we might live heaven forever. And he even now, as he says in John 14, he's preparing a home for us there. Seeing that I'm a pilgrim and stranger who has an eternal home in heaven through Christ, I seek by the Spirit's power to live as one who has a home in heaven. I live as one who doesn't continue in sin, but I seek to live in thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done for me. I live in the service of God and my neighbor. Seeing that I'm a stranger here and one who has a home in heaven, I don't live for the pleasures of this life, holding on to them as if they're everything. No, I live with my eyes on heaven. I want to be here tonight. I want to be here on Sunday with God's people, singing praises to God, hearing the word proclaimed, having a little taste of eternal life in heaven, where I'm going, where my home is. I want to be with his people, praising God's name together with them as much as possible, for it's with them that I will live eternally with heaven, in heaven. I watch and wait for Christ's second coming. I watch and wait, seeking to live for the glory of the God who has saved me, desiring that day when I will live and serve him in perfection. No sin, no sorrows, no troubles. Perfect life with him forevermore. I live as a pilgrim and stranger here with my eyes on heaven, as one who knows his end. Knowing my end, I live as a pilgrim and stranger here, and I have hope then. I have hope even as sin increases around me. The development of sin around us can scare us. We've seen the development of sin again in this world in the past year. The sexual agenda, the homosexual agenda, seems like it gets stronger every year. More and more push for that horrible, horrible activity. Horrible lifestyle. We wonder what it will be like sometimes in years to come. There's been more violence, more terror. Mankind in general seems ever more ready to follow the one who someday promises peace, earthly peace and prosperity for all. Mankind seems ready to follow one like that, one that we know as the Antichrist. In the church world, the lie has been promoted more and more, and many push for toleration. And sin will only grow. It will only grow. Men will only grow in their hatred for God and his people. More and more the church will be spoken against. Sometimes in weakness, the development of sin around us can scare us. But knowing our end tonight, we aren't scared. knowing our end and knowing that we have a home in heaven in Jesus Christ, we have comfort. We have hope. Sure hope. As verse 7 of Psalm 39 says, my hope is in thee. My hope is in thee, O God. My hope is in thee, Jesus Christ, my Savior. My life is brief here compared to eternal life I will have in heaven. Soon, very soon, this earthly life will pass away like a breath, and all of the pain, all of the sorrow will be gone. And we who are united to Jesus Christ, our Savior, will enter into heavenly glory. And soon, very soon, Jesus Christ will return upon the clouds of glory, and He will take us to be there with Him in body and soul forever, where there's only joy forevermore. And all those sorrows we've experienced, they'll all be done. It will be over. Only perfect joy with our God. Forever. I have an end. You have an end. Soon we will be in glory. We have hope then tonight. We have comfort. We have peace. We really have nothing to fear for ourselves or for our children. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He rules time and history. He's the one who's making all things to pass like an ever-rolling stream. Soon He will be here. We will see Him. We will praise Him forevermore in perfection. So thanks be to Him. Thanks be to Jesus Christ who has earned for us heaven, that eternal home. Thanks be to our God who works in us to see the truth concerning our end, to see that this life doesn't go on and on and on and on. To understand that from the right spiritual perspective. To have our eyes on heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, Lord, Thou art the God who rules all things. Thou art the God who has created time, who rules history, who is making everything work towards the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou, O God, art in control. And we pray that Thou as the all-powerful one will work in us to know our end. May we even understand that from the proper spiritual perspective, so that we live as pilgrims and strangers here, with our eyes on heaven, with hope in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.